Shavua Tov, ladies and gentlemen. We are continuing in the series on the Aguna crisis. I apologize that because of very technical reasons, there are not any sources to give out this time. Nor is there an email, nor a phone soundbite, all because of reasons which we don't have to go into right now. But the bottom line, the shiur must go on. And we're going to discuss a very important topic this evening. As part of the Aguna crisis, there were those who attempted to help solve it by legislation here in New York State. And it's important to note that there are two totally separate get laws which were passed in New York State, 9 years apart approximately. The first was passed in 1983. That get law established as follows. Any individual who asks for a civil divorce must declare or swear that to the best of his knowledge he has removed any barrier, he or she, and any barrier to the remarriage of the other side. And otherwise, he's not going to be entitled to a civil divorce. Okay? So, the great Rabbonim were consulted. And they gave their approval. The specifics, perhaps, were not given to them on a general level. Basically, the fundamental halachic principle is that in this particular case, it's not as if take the husband, for example, something is taken away from him if he refuses to give his wife a get. To the contrary, the government will grant him a civil divorce as long as he does not continue to have a barrier to the remarriage of his spouse. So, we're giving him something, namely a civil divorce, in return for his removal of the barrier, namely the granting of a get. This get law of 1983 didn't solve the problem for a very simple reason. As soon as recalcitrant husband understood what's going on, he simply did not file for divorce. This law was only a law which is imposed on an individual who files for divorce. You file for divorce, you're asking for a divorce. We're not going to give it to you until you do us a favor. You give a get, we'll give you the civil divorce. Not. So after that, they just stopped filing for divorce. By doing so, the law did not apply to them. So it was a very nice attempt. Basically steered clear of halachic problems, maybe some small problems, but it didn't do the job. Okay, this led to a remarkable law which passed in the summer of 1992. It requires a little bit of background. We mentioned last time in discussing the prenup that in New York State there's a law called equitable distribution, which means that the judge can take into account what's fair in establishing the way in which the marital assets should be distributed, how much he gets, how much she gets. It also is relevant to something which is called alimony. And he's permitted to have all kinds of calculations. And there are a list of 12 considerations that he should bring to bear in making his decision. And they added something. Namely, that the judge should take into account the refusal of either party to remove a barrier to the marriage of the other. In establishing how the property should be divided. This is the new law.
This law created a tremendous furor in rabbinic halachic circles. Many felt that this law posed a serious danger to the validity of Git in the New York State going forward. Let me explain why. A man must give a get of his own volition, not under compulsion. We had spoken earlier at the very beginning of the series about people being beat up, physical compulsion to give a get, which is, of course, the classical type of compelling which renders a get invalid. However, according to virtually all authorities, the same applies to an individual who was compelled, in effect, to give a get by someone telling him, listen, I'm not going to take your life if you don't give the get. I'm not going to beat you up if you don't give the get. I'm not going to incarcerate you if you don't give the get, which is also a problem. We spoke about it briefly last time. Rather, I will simply take your money. I say, your money or your get. Simple. Your money or your get. This is called an ones mamon. And the simple read of the Gemara, Masechta Baba Basra, is that ones mamon is considered to be an ones, is considered to be compulsion. And therefore, in this case, in which the man would not want to give a get, but a judge, a New York State judge, is telling him, listen, mister, you don't give the get, I'm going to sack it to you. Because now I have a law which tells me I should take into account a failure to remove a barrier to remarriage. You're failing to remove the barrier to remarriage for your wife. You're not giving her a get. And instead of giving you, for argument's sake, 50% of the assets, which I would do otherwise, you're going to get hit. And he can take away all his assets. Do whatever he wants. A judge has a lot of sway. The law is telling him he should take into account this idea. Therefore, it's possible that any get given since 1992 in New York State is, forgive the expression, it's under a cloud. This threat is ever present. This is the major theory behind those who are opposed to this get law.
Probably.
Yes, sir. I do not wish to speak of what I do not know. We will give some anecdotal reports that others are giving. I can give you what I've been told from my questions to various attorneys, but I do not know precisely figures. In other words, how many gittin and how many get situations has the law been invoked? Has it been mentioned to the husband by the attorney? These are very critical pieces of information. Now,
I don't really understand the second law. I'm not a family lawyer. Equitable distribution, you also have to be before the court seeking divorce, right? You also have to be in the divorce process.
Correct.
It could be the other person asking for it. That's the difference here.
I'm not sure what your question is.
The first law, the husband had asked for the get?
The first law only applied if the husband asks for the divorce. If the wife sues for the civil divorce, then the 83 law simply does not apply. So that's why this law applies whether you file for divorce or whether the other spouse file for divorce. It doesn't matter. It applies in both cases. That's the difference. Okay. So, the question is, does it apply or does not apply in a typical case? Now, I'm going to read to you a brief citation in Hebrew, and I'll translate, from an article by Rabbi Bleich, Shalita. It's from his Sefer B'Nesivos HaHalacha Chelek Aleph, page Mem Ches, going to Mem Tes. Let me better translate it. Those who defend the law say, look, Beis Din has to inquire from the husband that he is divorcing his wife of his own free will, not out of fear of the law, and that even if the law would not apply, he would have given the get anyway. So what's wrong? Rabbi Bleich says, Hadavar Poshut, Shekol Sha'on Sa Yodua. as long as the compulsion is known, for lo sar koach ha'anas, and the ability of the compelling power has not diminished, the power is still there, lo mahani klal masha omesh and megarish mertzono hatov. Doesn't help that he says he's going to divorce her of his free will. We mentioned the case that happened recently where somebody was beat up, gave his wife a get after they beat him up and threatened to beat him up again worse. And then he came later to say that the get is no good. So they'll say to him, what do you mean? You came to Beis Din and Beis Din asked you their routine questions. Do you give the get of your own free will? He said, yes. He said, of course I said yes. If I would say no, they wouldn't give the get. I'd go back home and they'd beat me up again. The fact that I said yes in the Beis Din was completely meaningless. I'm sorry.
Why isn't he afraid now when he says that they're going to beat him up?
Right now.
Right now when he says
he hired two guards.
He basically said that wasn't valid.
Right.
Therefore, she isn't divorced.
Right.
So why isn't he afraid that they're going to beat him up?
Maybe he is so outraged that she's marrying somebody else. He's overcame his fear. I can't get into this guy's skin. What?
He lied.
Yeah.
Of course he lied in Beis Din. Of course he lied. He lied because otherwise, if he would tell the truth, they'd beat him up again. See, I had a lie. So therefore, it's no good? Okay. He quotes a Tshuva Sar Rashba that says it's the same exact thing. When he gave the get, okay, so he said, of course, I give it of my own free will. No. No. It's invalid. It's invalid. And he quotes many sources on page Mem Tes in this Sefer to the same effect. Now, as a result, we have a major problem on our hands since then. Now, there was another defense. The husband should come to court and tell the judge. What should he tell the judge? Look, the Beis Din refuses to order the get because I told him I'm only saying yes because of the judge. Tell the truth. The rabbi said, you're giving the get of your own free will? Well, to be truthful, I'm giving the get only because the judge said if I don't give the get, he's going to sack it to me. I'm going to lose money. So the Beis Din won't give the get. He's going to go back to court. And the judge will say, why did you give the get? He said, I went to the Beis Din, I told him the truth. That you, Your Honor, said if I don't give the get, that you're going to impose financial penalty on me, and they refuse to give it. What do you want from me? I'm clean. I quoted you verbatim. Says Rabbi Bleich, Ein ze mamish. This has no validity. Why? Because he knows, the husband knows, he comes to the judge and tells him this. So the judge will ask him, why didn't they give the get? And he'll say, he came to the Beis Din, right? And the Beis Din didn't want to do it. The judge will say, it's your fault, because you told him the truth. I mean, he won't say that. But you told him that you don't want to give the get, except because I, the judge, I'm imposing a penalty on you. You should really come to the realization you want to do it on your own. So, he quotes from Rabbi Yashiv, a citation which is printed, I bought the original, it's printed in Kovetz Shuvas. If this is true, this interpretation, Nafal Pita Bebira, that's an expression from the Gemara, Kolika Matara Sachoku La'aletas Abal L'Shachar Esishto Beget, they made this law to force the husband to give a get, and if Beis Din will tell the truth, and he'll tell the truth, and the judge will take us into account, and the husband will not give the get, ma ha'ilu b'takanoson. So what does this accomplish? This get law. It's obvious that the judge is not going to think this way, and the judge will in fact impose a penalty on the husband, and therefore it's a get me'usa. A get is no good. So I saw the Yashiv. Now, strictly speaking, Rabbi Bleich is always a purist. He says, if there's no way in the world that the get could be kosher according to Jewish law, because the law itself prevents the kosher get from being given, the judge has to rule that the law is null and void. The problem is that more than 20 years have gone by and no judge has come to that conclusion.
Go to a higher court.
Yeah, okay. So if a man wants to go to a higher court, take his chances, it would be a good idea. But so far, no one's done it yet.
20 years, nobody did it.
No one's done it. Rabbi Bleich was once making as a semi-ingest, he'll divorce his wife, you know, in civil law, she'll come and say, and he'll say, he'll go through this whole charade with the judge, and then he'll be able to overturn the law. But his wife and parents did not agree to this experiment, so it hasn't happened yet. So no one's done it. So the husband caves. So therefore, there are letters from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv that this law creates serious questions of a forced get. This is printed in Moria. If you remember, I started my shiur last time. I called Moria an ear of Tavshin Memches. That was Moria Tavshin, ear Tavshin Nun Gimel, 5 years later. These letters are printed. Additional letters are printed by the Agudas Yisrael of America, Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, in late 1993, and Kol HaRabbanim of Muncie, earlier in 1993, and it said its quote. I'm giving you this a direct quotation of one of these announcements. Kol Rabbi Yisrael lo yisader kiddushin, what's going on? Don't perform a marriage ceremony. L'shum echad ni ben zug shekiblu get peturin. From the date of the 1992 get law, don't do a siddur kiddushin until you go in front of rabbanim uvhakim or bekiyim, and they should analyze the details and give a psak that this get had no issue of quote pachad ve'iyum ve'isui. Let me ask you a question: how many people do you think, as rabbanim misad v'kiddushin, for a second marriage, for someone who's been divorced after 1992, go into the details of what happened when the get was given? Zero or close to zero. I think you're 100% right. So we're in trouble. For 20 years, we're in trouble.
The simple first answer is, if you gave the get before filing for civil divorce, then we would say that get should be okay?
Not. We'll see. Rabbi Black says no. Because he gave the get with full knowledge that if he doesn't give the civil divorce, he's going to be in trouble with the judge. Once that knowledge is there, the only time the get is going to be good, according to Rabbi Bleich, is if he never heard of the 1992 get law. His lawyer didn't tell him. And Rabbi Bleich writes elsewhere that his lawyers are guilty of malpractice if he doesn't tell him, etc. This is what is written.
But if you're concerned that if he went to the Beis Din and told the Beis Din, I did it because the judge told me to, the fact that you have another Beis Din that questioned him, he's going to be afraid that he's going to get hit with that penalty. So 2 years later, he'll come and say, by the way, I was afraid back then.
Right.
And so even if the Beis Din investigates all they want, you have the same exact problem.
That
doesn't even resolve the problem.
Not necessarily. Could be the Beis Din went into an inquiry at the time, and the Beis Din is a reliable Beis Din. They decide that there's no problem.
And he's going to tell them every time, he's going to give them the answer that they want to hear.
No, but Bezins are not born yesterday.
Okay.
Your point is well taken, but there are Bezins that can do a better job than that. In any event, there were those who suggested that the children of Moshe Feinstein, which would somehow make this get law okay. And there's a letter here printed in Rabbi Yoshev Sefer Kovas Chuvas by Rabbi Morgenstern, one of his major assistants, the name I mentioned last time, that the tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein that's being quoted has nothing to do whatsoever with the 92 get law. Why? Because in Rav Moshe's tshuva it says until the get takes place, he's obligated to support her. So what does that mean? So they're assuming that Rav Moshe is referring to a case where he's obligated to support her. However, in the law of 92, the judge can obligate the husband even in a situation in which the husband, according to strict halacha, is not obligated to supply her with her mezonos, which we spoke about last time, as well as equitable distribution, has nothing to do with support. Nothing. And therefore, Rav Moshe's tshuva has nothing to do with the 92 get. All this is printed in the Kovetz Tshuvas Chelek Aleph on pages Shin Tes Vov through Shin Yud Zayin. It's Simon Kuf Pei. The part that I quoted to you before, where someone had tried to reinterpret the law, Rabbi Yashiv made short shrift of that reinterpretation. It was a letter to Nat Lewin. That's printed in the Chelek Beis of the Sefer Kovetz Tshuvas. You'll want to look it up later on. I'll tell you exactly where it is. I got the right page, just give me a second. Reish Lamed Ches, approximately. Okay. That show was actually page Reish Mem. Orach the number first, of Nosson Levin Shlita, and that's Nafal Pita Bebira, that's found over here on page Reish Mem. The previous page, that's signed Yud Ches Sivan Tov Shin Nun Gimel, right in the middle of the whole story, 1993. There's an additional letter, which I'll describe in a moment, which goes to the year 1998. But before we get to 1998, I'd like to share with you an English language exchange, which you can all look up in English, which comes from the Rabbinical Council of America publication called Tradition. Tradition is a very well-known publication, which you've quoted before. And I have over here, starting from 1995, going through 1997, a number of articles back and forth. The primary authors are Rabbi Chaim Malinowitz, who's a Rav in my son's shul now in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Although he's listed here as a member of the Bezdin of Kol Rabbanim in Muncie. It could be he still lives in Muncie then in 1997. I'm not sure when he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he's responding to an article by Rabbi Broid, which was written in 1995. The article begins with a quote from Rav Henkin. If a husband and wife separate and he no longer desires to remain married to her and she desires to be divorced from him, in such a case, divorce is a mitzvah and commanded by Jewish law. One who withholds a Jewish divorce because he desires money for no just cause is a thief, worse than a thief, etc. So, he starts with the problems of the 1992 get law. Serious problems. The 1992 get law is a bad idea, he writes. Fine. Secular interference in the internal workings of the Jewish law has been profoundly discouraged throughout Jewish history. That's a pretty bold statement. Not just this, it's throughout Jewish history. We're not interested in having the government get involved in our issues. The question that becomes, this is written in 1995, the law remains. And after the fact, is the woman divorced or not divorced? Okay. So, the first argument that's given over here is the tshuva of Rav Moshe. A different one, not the tshuva that was referred to earlier. This is Evan or Ezer, Chele Gimel, Simon, Mem, Dalid. What does he write? What if it's clear that the husband wants to end the marriage? He has no desire whatsoever to be married to his wife. He doesn't want to be married to her. Just that, while the marriage is ending, why not a few extra dollars or a few extra other goodies that he wants? So, Rav Moshe suggests that maybe a get me'us is only in a case where the husband really wants to remain married. But over here, not. Chazanish is a similar strain of logic. Rav Herzog discusses these situations as well. That's number one. Number two, the suggestion is made that, you know what? The government made a law, Dina de Malchusa Dina, and therefore, the man is obligated to do what has to be done. And if the judge takes it away from him, he's not stealing his money. He's taking the money away under a law which the husband and the wife are bound by because they're living here in this state of New York. This is reason number two. There were a number of other reasons which are not of such great significance for our discussion. But now we come to the following thing. There are many Jewish divorces issued where there's no coercion, in fact, presented by the get law, as the couple have settled their claims independently of any secular law, including the get law. They just settled it. Uncontested divorce. What's wrong? Okay. Now, cases where a husband will consent to the imposition of a significant penalty because he knows he will give the get of his own and thus void the penalty. So it's very hard to figure out, was it Musa, as Ronnie said. It's hard to figure this thing out. Is it Musa or is it not Musa? So therefore, he's suggesting that after the fact, perhaps we can say the get is good. That's his article. Okay. There's Rabbi Broid in 1995. Okay, that's point number one. Now we come to 1997. In 1997, an article by Chaim Milinowitz. He writes, he's quoting, where illicit coercion is present, the Bezdin will decline to write the get. Then he asks, what's the point of the get law? So that's a question. That's what we saw from Rav Eliashiv. Now, Rabbi Feinstein. In a footnote, he writes that Rav Moshe wrote that his logic is not to be relied upon. So that's, he thinks that's not right. More than that, Rav Moshe was referring to a case. It was clear that the husband actually wished to end the marriage and be divorced, and is only contesting the fiscal details of the divorce, but has no desire to remarry to his wife. Correct. But there was no such requirement in the get bill. Then how are you going to know what the facts were? And the Chazon Ish is a case where the husband made it quite clear before any coercion existed that he wanted a get. Rav Herzog is the Pilpula Velo lahalacha. More than that, the business already decided in the case maybe calls for coercion. So it's not to do with the typical case. Dina Malchusa Dina is implausible. Why? There's no law that a couple have to use the equal distribution law. They can reach any agreement that they want. They can divide the property any way they want. She doesn't have to come to court to take him to court for dividing the property. In any event, these are his main points. So, back and forth. Now, Rabbi Broid responds. This is going back and forth. He responds. So, it's hard for me to summarize everything here, but suffice it to say that the Rav Moshe, that's the main thing he's relying upon. Again, if the marriage is actually over, coercion is not part of the halacha of the void to get, for money, etc. He gives other examples of who presumably support it. And he quotes a Rabbi Gartner. Rabbi Tzvi Gartner is one of the great Rabbanim in this area. I quoted him last time. With a whole sefer called Kfiyah Beget. A whole sefer this thick. And he quotes him. Rav Moshe, it's difficult to rely on the approach of Rav Moshe in a case where the only benefit which accrues to the husband is removal of the obligation to support his wife. But in the case where the husband does not desire a marital relationship, then, you know, it's what to talk about. What to talk about. Now, that's a very serious question. What's the case? Every case is different. It's hard to know. Then about the Dina Machlus Adina, he also argues. Let me give you my personal view about this whole thing before I get to some of the other details. My view is, this dispute is another critical reason why the prenuptial agreement is so important. In other words, people are saying, ah, this prenuptial agreement is some kind of a leniency, and we're relying on leniencies. If you don't have the agreement, then we're following a stringency. It's the other way around. If there's no agreement, then you every single get that is written subsequently is under a cloud of the 1992 get law. You want to know how strong the cloud is? I'm going to read you a very powerful statement. Very powerful. It's a letter by Rabbi Bleich in the 1997 law. I'll read you just one paragraph. With great pain and with full cognizance of the responsibility inherent in the statement, I reiterate that the validity of, if not all, certainly a preponderance of the gittin executed in the state of New York is, to put it mildly, under a cloud. Regrettably, instead of serving as a panacea resolving the plight of the aguna, the get law has itself created, listen now, countless agunot. What's he talking about? Shh. People have gittin. Shh. It's precisely because of the concern for agunot that the get law cannot be allowed to stand. That's a powerful statement. That every get is under a cloud. Wow. Then here we go to the final paragraph. Fortunately, the cloud has a silver lining. The legislation is fatally flawed in that the inability to grant a get generated by the statute itself serves to render the statute nugatory. Who knows what nugatory means, except for Ronnie? What's nugatory? Maybe another lawyer. What does nugatory mean?
Null.
By virtue of its own provisions, providing penalties only for failure to execute a valid get. Sooner or later, I'm afraid to be later, the applicability, I'm saying, of the get law to Jewish religious divorce will be nullified upon judicial review. I think that's like until Mashiach is going to come. In the interim, it should be noted that in my earlier mentioned writings, I made a couple of recommendations, cumbersome in nature, to get around it, which we in our best have tried to take into account, that the individual after, at the time of the get, just before, just after, or both, he takes an additional oath, in effect, that the get is being done of his own volition. This is the one possibility to solve the problem. Solve the problem.
If that would solve the problem, so why doesn't everybody just do that?
Well, the truth is, to my knowledge, there's no bezin in the country except for ours that puts this in its standard get proceeding.
Problem is only in New York, right? The guy gets a get in New Jersey. He's not
involved. Depends where they got married, where their property, where he is. That's a complicated.
Even just in New York.
In New York, there are plenty of bezins in New York.
Right.
And they're not doing it, to my knowledge. Look, they may not agree that there's such a big problem. They may not agree that this is a good solution.
Oh, if they don't think it's a problem, then I understand that.
Right.
Even though you could argue, gee, that the fact that other people see it's a problem, so it'll be a problem with the next, for her getting married. In fact,
Right.
Just take this extra step.
Right. The extra step basically...
What they did, that would think that this is a problem, that this is a law. So if that's a solution to it, why don't they take it?
I can't answer your question. You have to ask them. But the two solutions, he says they're cumbersome. One of them is really cumbersome. I'll read you that one. I'm reading it from his Hebrew Sefer. One is to write a second get. Second get. They write the first get, and the first get will solve the legal problem. They write a second get, which is you don't need for legally. It's only for... I can't imagine it's going to really happen. And the other one is that the... they put upon him what's called a cherim chomer after the get, or at the time of the get, that he's giving Ritzono HaTov. He didn't have to accept the cherim. Didn't have to accept the cherim, or the oath, which is the equivalent of, then perhaps it would be good. Which is what we have. We have inserted that into our standard proceeding. Although I can't give you a guarantee that each and every case. It is said, you know.
Is anybody from New York based in where there was a get given, where the oath was taken, where he later came back and said, "I really didn't mean it then. I just was doing it."
No one has ever come back with us at all. We are the only bezin, to my knowledge, that inquires significantly as to whether the husband is afraid of the get law, because we have attorneys who know what the get law means. The average bezin, they don't know what the get law is. I'm sorry, they just know what it is. They're not dealing with it. They don't deal with the reality.
Is the answer yes?
We've sent husbands away. We have sent husbands away. We cannot order this get. What did he do? They went to a different bezin. I don't know what he did. But we wouldn't do it. It's interesting, and this is pertains primarily to last time Shir, the new law of 92. Discuss not only equal distribution of the assets, but also how much maintenance must be given. Okay, and the question is, what about a woman who's making a lot of money? So they quote Rav Moshe's Shuvah. That's the same Shuvah that Rabbi Morgenstern referred to. Chelek Dalet Simin Kuf Vav. Okay, and we don't understand exactly what Rav Moshe means. I'll read you some of the words, not the whole thing. He says, the husband is chayv mizono seha, and we don't understand why. Why? Why is he chayv mizono seha? Why? Let him say, provide for yourself. She's making a lot of money. That's his question. He learns pshat and ramesh as follows, that whatever a woman makes that she's not required to do, the husband is not entitled to that money. What does that mean? On the first level, we discussed last time, she works extra hard. There's a dispute among the various poskim whether he's entitled to that or not. It's a question for a suffix. But then, he writes, that's as far as knitting. She's supposed to knit X amount, she knits extra. But with respect to the income, she's a doctor or a lawyer. So the Rishon already discussed this question. It's even more than Adafar De'etchak. Even according to those who say Adafar De'etchak belongs to the husband, but these profits belong to the wife. And he gives you a whole series of sources. Aran and Ksubas, Daf Samech Aleph, and a Ritva Daf Nun Tes, and a Mishnah Melech, and a Sivas Mishpat, and a Priya Doma, and the whole series of Gedolim. He says, Rav Moshe must have held that way, and he quotes the Padar of the chief rabbinate who said something similar. So that's what Rav Moshe is relying on. That's as far as the income of the woman is concerned, which we made reference to last time. Fine. So this is quite a statement over here. He's saying that every get is under a cloud. Now, the reason Rabbi Black wrote this letter was because Rabbi Broid said that Rabbi Milinowitz is alone in claiming that the get bill creates economic sanctions which would invalidate any get written as a result of said bill. Uh, he's not alone. I agree, he says. Other word, any. Now, if there's no financial matters subject to determination by New York courts, nor does it apply in the rare instances in which the husband is demonstrably ignorant of the provisions of the law. My anecdotal research has told me these instances are very far from rare. There are many who get a divorce, they never heard of the get law, they don't know what it's all about. They don't just don't know what it's about. They don't know. They do not know. Now, if they don't know, so the question becomes, didn't the lawyer tell them? So I asked a few lawyers. No, there are no marriage lawyers here, but I spoke to some people who deal with marriage. They said, you know, there are many cases they never said anything to the husband because it was never an issue. He wants to give her a get. Whether he gives it before, he gives it later, it never was an issue. Okay. This is the up to 1997. Now we come to 1998, which is the, unfortunately, as far as I know, the final chapter in this sordid saga. What happened in 1998? Some individuals of the community saw that we're going nowhere fast. Nothing's happening. The law is not changing. Every get is under a cloud, according to many rabbonim. Let's do something about it. So the first thing, you get, repeal the law. The problem is there'd be no way in the world to get the law repealed. It won't happen. I think it should be repealed, but it's just not happening. So if it's not happening, maybe you can make some changes in the law. So here we have a letter written to a Rav Yashiv Shalita. It's written in Elul, Tovshin Nun Ches. That's 1998. It says, hey, it's a type, it should be Ches. And a more complete analysis is found in Yeshurun, which came out that year. It's an annual publication. And the question is, should we get involved over here? Should we get involved and try to fix it? Or just leave it the way it is? Oh. Why did Rabbanim want to get involved? Quote, Livcho harabim miyuto. The Rabbanim are understanding, even the new law that they wanted to suggest is not so good, but it's the less of the two evils. Okay. That's the question. Another question. So what are the changes? I was part of these meetings. I know these are five interesting changes. The first is that any payments are only for the financial needs of the woman when she needs more because she cannot find a second husband, and not a penalty. It's unclear in the law. What is it? Is it a penalty or not a penalty? So if it's a penalty, it's a serious problem. A get moves, he's penalizing the husband. If it can be characterized by the law itself as support as opposed to a penalty, perhaps that would be a positive development. Number two, that the judge need not impose this additional payment, just that it's up to him. If he wants, he can. Not that he must. The law, I think, has the word should, but which implies that he really should. I don't say must, but should. Can. Change that one word.
What does the law say? You should what? Consider
it? He should take into account the failure to bear the rent.
Taking into account, it doesn't tell you how much weight he's giving it.
True.
It's no different than what you're proposing.
No, there's a difference between should and can. Still a difference. Number three, we said before, there's no limit to how much he can add. Instead of 50-50, we got 100 to zero. That's our chunk of cash. So the suggestion was made, 5% max. 5% max, you can add, no more than that. What's the logic behind that? Look, 5% is not so much. If he's giving the get, because of 5%, he really wants to give the get, not because he's doing only under duress. Four, the judge should only impose this when he, the judge, decides on his own, based on what he sees, that the husband doesn't really want to stay with his wife. Just wants cash or revenge. even though it really should be judged by a best, not by a secular judge. Well, at least the secular judge, if it's put into the law, so at least that's going to make an improvement. Five is the kicker. And the reason for five was because since this somewhat weakens the law, there were certain groups that were insistent that they strengthen it in a certain way. How strengthen it? To criminalize asking for money for a get. It's criminal. It should be put into the law. These are the five suggestions that were made. And many hours were spent with Rabbonim and Dayanim and lawyers, men in the law office in the city more than once. The truth is that the interesting sidebar is, originally, there was supposed to be a mishlachat, a group of three Rabbonim to go to Rav Yoshev and to discuss it with him. The three were Rav Shraga Feivel Cohen, whose name appears over here as the questioner. Okay? And in this is in Kovas Chuvas. If one looks in the Yeshurun, there were three rabbis. The second was Rabbi Landesman from Machon Horah from Muncie. And the third was yours truly. My name was also on that original list, but even those three were selected from a whole series of other Rabbanim, Dayanim, and attorneys from a whole spectrum to try to deal with this very thorny problem. I remember them asking me, I was in camp that summer, it must have been 1998, when can you go to Eretz Yisrael? I told them, I'm off from camp, I finished camp this day, and then the Shiva starts this day, and they're going to maybe make And they asked me, maybe you should get a ticket. I said, I'll wait. Rabbi Landesman was a big of an optimist than myself. He actually made a ticket, and it cost him a cancellation fee when it didn't pan out. Rabbi Yoshua wasn't interested really in seeing us, which didn't surprise me. And he wrote a letter like this. He says, there were those, the first issue that they wanted money to be support and not a penalty. And they're relying on Rav Moshe's tshuva in Ebenezer Simon Kuf Lamed Zayin. If you look at that letter very carefully, it's the way he understands it, it only applies in a case in which the husband is obligated by Jewish law to pay for her support. But there are many cases when he's not. We spoke about that last time. If the marriage broke up and she's no longer in the same house and it's her fault, he's no longer obligated. But the judge is not going to take that into effect. Now, 5%. 5%? He says 5%? That's above giving her half. The 50% she doesn't deserve to get. Now wait, that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. Okay? Now I'll read you his words. And according to the law, she's going to get 50%. Now you're going to give her an additional 5%. Which we said 5% is a schum katan. The answer is, the 50% is already a foregone conclusion, whether you like it or not. Now here's an argument which is made by some who are defending the get law. If you have a problem after the get law, you had a similar problem before the get law. Even before the get law, it's a problem. The answer is, you're right. It was a slight problem in certain cases. But now you're institutionalizing the problem. Instead of having a justice, there was a famous judge named Riegler at the time in Brooklyn. So he would do these things without the law. So that was an occasional problem. Now you're making it an institution. So, these are very serious problems. And then he says, criminalizing the procedure will prevent a woman from getting a get where she'd be otherwise willing to pay him off. Now she can't do it. So you're going to make more agunas. Therefore, I'm not going to relate to this whole, I can't deal with this. I don't ain't any roa b'shinuyim ha'mutsoyim b'shim takona l'seis mi'chashash ke'mus. You know, Vlash is very careful. Even Rabbi Vlach is careful. No one is saying that a get is, in fact, invalid. We're very... Chashash might be invalid. I want to be very careful myself. Might be invalid. Not saying it certainly is invalid. it might be invalid. Now, these laws, specifically the 1992 get law, were passed because of particular pressure which is exercised by individuals in the community with the, obviously with the assistance of certain legislators. I don't want to mention any names right now, but some of the legislators were from the Orthodox community, as were just about all of the agitators, if I may use that expression, including certain journalists with a certain personal situation which existed at the time. My understanding, and it could be I'm wrong, is that those who supported the get law would not have done so without certain rabbinic sanction, even if the rabbinic sanction is clouded in uncertainty. And I'm not here to say that any particular get is invalid. I say two things. One, the mere fact that there's a significant body of opinion which maintains that this law is a problem, as Rabbi Shlomo Zalman said, sakana velo takana, it's a danger instead of a help. One has no right to appeal to secular authorities when such controversy exists within the community. You can only go to the secular authority to help in a situation where there's unanimity or near unanimity within the rabbinic community. It's a good thing. But with so much controversy, even if you're right, you're wrong. Even if they're right, argument's sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down with a baskol, you're right. But you know, there are great rabbis who say it's a problem. What right do you have to impose your opinion on me? It's morally wrong. That's number one. Number two, the reality is the reality. What Rabbi Vladek refers to an interim, I'm not a prognosticator, but Kubi's interim will be until Mashiach comes. We have to contend with it. Even these changes which were suggested were rejected by Rabbi Yashiv. They're not going to go anywhere. Frankly, if he asked me, had he said yes, never would have happened anyway. Because when you get involved in the government with all kinds of lobbies, it's all hypothetical. So that's just my personal view. I don't know if it would have happened anyway. But it's not happening. So we're left with this law. It's a reality and likely to remain so for the foreseeable future. Therefore, we have to analyze each and every case and find out what's happening and try our best, which our best does, to number one, analyze each and every case. Is there a pending divorce in the secular court? What the situation is? We try to reach independent understanding of what's going on. Of course, you can't get to the bottom of every single case. I grant you. But those who are experienced can often figure out what's behind every person when they walk into the Beis Din. Number one. Number two, we have this additional cherem, chomer, or oath that we try to may be of some assistance along the lines of what Rabbi Black himself has suggested. That's the best we can do. Because to say that nobody can give a get after 1992 is impossible. Most important, I go back to what I said before, just sign a prenup. It's an incredible thing. Everyone's worried about they're worried about this and they're worried about that. For example, there's a polemic going on now about prenups, in which a official spokesman for Agudas Yisrael said a prenup is a bad idea. Bad idea. Why doesn't he just wake up and look to what his organization publicized 20 years ago, where they said that because of the existence of the get law, there's major problems. Whenever it gets taken place, every rabbi doing a wedding has to inquire what happened. They're not doing it. And the solution is to take it out of the secular court. Rabbi Black himself in that letter said it. If nothing is to be decided by the secular court, then there's no problem.
The prenup that elects,
exactly, that the monetary matter should be decided by the Beis Din, then the secular court has nothing to say, and then the get law is irrelevant. That's the only way I know to overcome this problem. So, after it's all said and done, I come back to my same bottom line, We should encourage the prenup with the full power given over to the Bezin for many reasons, including this one. And once again, this series about the Aguna crisis. Rabbi Black's powerful expression has only created more Agunas, which is a frightening process if you really think about what it really means. Even if you don't go that far, and even if you will contend that not all that many cases are really subject to the get law, in fact, rendering the get invalid, and I'm open to that, that there's not that many cases, but there are some cases for sure. The question is only how many cases? Right? Black is almost all cases, and I may say almost no cases. But it's just a matter of degree. There's certainly some cases. Therefore, I feel that given the reality of today, the fact that the prenup had been, think about the poetic justice here. The prenup had its signatures in January of 1992. You know, perhaps it was a refuah kodem lemaka. The law, which came out of left field, was passed in July of 92. So by 6 months or so, we had gotten the haskam of Gedolei Torah on an agreement which can be a refuah to this maka. I hope that more people will use it as a refuah to the maka of the get law, and equally important, as a refuah to the maka of the constant aguna crisis which keeps on going. Let's end with this anecdotally. I happen to have been somewhere this week, south of where we are right now, in what we'll call a warmer climate. And I'm walking in a garage, or in a lobby rather, in a building down there. And I meet an old acquaintance of mine. And so my wife, this. And he's one of the earliest Aguna activists. I know him from 20-something years ago. A wonderful man. He starts telling me, he's hopeful that a particular case, one of the most thorny cases, which we talked about the very first week with a picture in the New York Post, he hopes, he has reason to believe, the optimistic, it's going to be solved in the next few days. Still haven't heard. I hope he's right. I haven't heard about it. I probably would have heard about it had it really happened. So, hope springs eternal. We hope these problems will be solved expeditiously. But going forward, the prenup, I believe, is the best solution to the ongoing Aguna crisis. We'll be in 2 weeks. We'll continue with other solutions to these problems. I will have to listen to what the Agudas Yisrael said. If he wants me to do the wedding, I have to inquire and see what happened, you know, at the original get.
At the original get, so he went to a Beis Din and he said, "I'm giving the get," and they gave the get. Are you going to question him? Did you really mean it then?
I can't say.
If there's a chashash, are you telling him there's a chashash? I'm assuming also that we're talking people of childbearing.
That's okay. Irrelevant. If it's a person says a get is no good, it's no good. Obviously, what Ronnie means is childbearing age has a greater problem chas v'chalila if the woman we could be a chalila mamzeres issue. But even if not, we just read this morning Lo Sinof. That's pretty onerous without. Because remember, when it comes here, let me answer you. When it comes to a childbearing age, as far as the progeny is concerned, there. If the facts are somewhat cloudy, we run into a dispensation known as a suffek mamzer. We don't know for sure. We're allowed to be lenient in any doubtful case. I'm dealing with a case right now, since I wasn't going to talk about it, but since you mentioned it, we're a very sad case. Someone came to our bezin just recently, a straightforward situation. The woman was married in the Rabbanut in Israel, and had a very bad marriage, left Israel, came to America. Husband refused to give her again under any circumstances. They gave up the case, and she went and she married someone else and had a baby, who's now 20 years old, wants to get married. Hey, it's not a good situation. We're racking our brains to try to find all kinds of legal machinations to somehow try to resolve the question based on earlier sources. It's very difficult. That's what we deal with, unfortunately. That's a serious problem. But in these kinds of cases of illegitimacy, we'll hang our hat on any doubt. based on the Gemara, we're going to make up our own things up. We try. But as far as marrying someone in the first instance, in some ways that's more serious. Then you have a low sin, if we read this morning, with an ill dog, it's even more serious. The problems are problems that hope will find better solutions. Shavua Tov.
What is your case where there's no problem? You said that under the many... What's the